Hello, hello, hello,
hello, hello, hello, hello, hello, hello, hello, hello.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah.
I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, we are an Acquired Taste podcast, the podcast for people who are obsessed with missing persons documentaries.
Ooh, did you watch The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann?
Yes, I did.
Oh, do you know what happened to her?
I think that she was drugged.
Drugged by her parents or by someone else?
By somebody else.
Yeah.
At the resort. Taken. And then taken. Okay, if you don't know what we're talking about, this documentary is all over Netflix right now. It's about a little girl. She's three. Her name is Madeleine McCann.
Mm-hmm.
She went missing.
And oh my gosh, there's so much that I think happened. I'm Bethany. I'm your introverted, socially awkward book nerd who may also be a Victorian murderous BFF.
And I'm Kathleen, your vixen in the kitchen, Parisian wannabe, unsuspectingly outdoorsy sex mistress BFF.
And yeah, at first I thought that the dad did it and didn't tell the mom. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought after the dogs, spoiler alert, after the dogs smelled the corpse and the decomp in her room.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, I think that she was taken for the underground trade, unfortunately.
So the deal is that they were in Portugal, the south of Portugal, which I also happened to be there that same summer.
No, you... I was... Of course you are.
I was summering in the Algarve.
I don't understand your upbringing, but okay.
No, I had a Portuguese roommate in college, and we spent a large chunk of that summer with her family.
Okay, I thought you were going to say we had a Portuguese au pair.
Stop it!
And I
no.
was like, you don't get to be normal.
And I was watching the documentary last night, and I was like, huh. Why didn't I know about that when I was there? And I was like, oh, wait, that makes sense because you don't speak Portuguese and I wasn't necessarily watching the news.
Yeah, well, and also the government didn't really want you to know about it.
Yeah,
that's a big part of it.
Yeah, well, because the Algarve, which is the southern tip of Portugal, and there are beautiful beaches down there. It's outside of the Mediterranean, because this is the Atlantic, it's considered some of the most beautiful beaches in all of Europe. A very popular destination, especially for Nordics and English people to head down there for their holidays. Anyway.
Yeah, so...
Taken from her bed in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I really think that it's been, has it been 13 years, 12 years
now? Yeah.
So she'd be like 15 or 16 years old. And the crazy thing is that they show the age progressed photo of what they think she looks like now.
Yeah, because they never found the body.
Yeah, and so she could still be, hopefully is still alive. And I know a girl who looks just like that.
No
and the
way.
Picture that I, the picture that they show, I'm like, gosh, she looks familiar. And I realize she looks identical to a family friend's kid. And the only reason that I didn't call the cops is because I know who she was when she was pregnant. And I've seen the baby grow up, but she looks identical to her.
So the Portuguese authorities and the British authorities, they get thousands and thousands of reports of Madeleine McCann sightings every year.
Cause she was a tiny blonde girl with bright blue eyes. It's just awful. But the show is fascinating. And it the good news is that it gets her face and her name back out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what America's Most Wanted did too, is it takes these old cases and it shows to a new audience. And you just never know.
Her parents wouldn't participate because they've been burned.
Yeah, so many times.
By the media. But anyway, I think this is a good thing. Get her face back in people's memories.
Yes.
Bethany, what's on your mind today?
My cats and I have been ghosted by our second cat groomer.
No.
My cats are so difficult to groom that our second set of cat groomers have stopped answering my texts.
Stop.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. So the first group, my first groomers, they groomed twice with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is that my cat Loki has some trauma, I think, from his first owners.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like to be brushed. He screams in terror.
Yeah.
He's so traumatized by something that happened to him. And so the old groomers just stopped responding. And then this new groomer came over last week, and she and her partner couldn't even, they have one swipe. They got one swipe of hair cut on his belly before he quit. It's sort of like in Friends, where was it Jennifer Aniston who got one tiny tattoo?
One tiny pixel. Yeah. That was Phoebe.
Oh, it was Phoebe? The Earth from Far Away, because she couldn't do the tattoo without passing out. So that's Loki. He has one tiny little mark on his belly from where he got shaved, and then he screamed and jumped, and they were like, we won't touch him. So
can you sedate him?
Yeah. So they suggested this medication that he's going to the vet next week, and we're going to talk to the doctor about it so he's not so traumatized. So in the meantime, I texted her and said, okay, we're going to, you know, work on getting this medication. Can we get another appointment? You know, I'm sorry it was so tough, but could we try again? And she just hasn't responded.
Oh no.
So it's like, there's only so many cat groomers in my neighborhood.
I think you have to go to cat grooming school.
I think I have to start a second profession of like getting trained in cat grooming, because nobody will groom my cat for me.
So I've never had my cats groomed. Is it only for cats with longer hair?
Yeah, it's like, because my cats are Persian and their hair mats really easily, you have to brush them every day. And because Loki hates being brushed because he gets re-traumatized by it, like his fur has to be trimmed, but he can't do that either. So yeah, it's really important for these cats. Like when I adopted him, he was covered in mats because his first owners just didn't want to deal with it.
And you can't use detangler on him.
Mm-hmm, doesn't work. He won't be brushed. I mean, so it's just, it's like, so we just got ghosted by our cat groomers for the second time.
Aww.
And there's only one other cat groomer in my neighborhood, and she's a little frightening because I inquired on her website for an appointment, and then she started calling me, and she called me 4 times in a span of 5 minutes.
No.
Like, and I was like, that's needy.
That's when you start picking up the phone and then hanging up without saying anything. Yeah. And then they think your phone is broken.
Yeah. So, I think what I'm going to have to do is take some cat grooming training so I don't mess it up, and then like groom my own damn cats.
Oh my God.
What about you, Kathleen? What are you thinking about?
The topic that everybody's talking about right now is Jordan Peele.
I know. Did you see Us over the weekend?
I did. It was so, so, so good.
Don't spoil anything. I haven't seen it, and our dear listeners haven't seen it.
I'm not going to spoil anything. If you're afraid to go because you think it's too scary,
yeah.
In true Jordan Peele fashion, it's a little bit scary, but more psychologically frightening.
Okay, here's my big question.
Mm-hmm.
Because movies like Hereditary and The Ring visually are so frightening. Did you see Hereditary?
No, but I saw The Ring.
Okay. So in Hereditary, there's this one awful scene where, if you've seen it, it's the scene where you're watching the son look for his parents, and there's that moment where he's just kind of looking around, and something happens in the background with the mom that is so awful and scary and like unsettling. So Us seems like that kind of movie where there's a lot of visuals that are really frightening.
And there's a lot of big picture societal questions that you start to recognize and understand as the movie goes on.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's the not so much the gory frightening. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. It's, I don't want to give too much away, but okay. Please go see it.
Okay, one follow-up question that isn't a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
There is a shot in one of the trailers where Lupita Nyong'o, her face, I'm guessing this is the doppelganger because that's what it's about,
yeah.
And that's not a spoiler. Her face looks like a plastic mask.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I don't even know what the question is. It seems too scary. Too scary, Lupita Nyong'o, too scary.
It's scary in the same way that when your muscles are sore, they hurt so good. Do you know what I mean? It's scary so good because it gets you thinking.
Okay.
It's like you're working out that knot in your back and you're like, it hurts, but don't stop.
Okay, here's another question.
Yeah.
They seem to be in some sort of cabin or some sort of cabin.
Yeah, it's a summer home.
Is this going to ruin me for cabins?
No. And I know why you're asking that.
Okay. I feel like I'm making this about
me. No, go ahead.
So, if you listen to the podcast, you know that Kathleen has been doing like cabin adventures. Like she went to a cabin with all of her girlfriends and they rented a cabin in cabins. And she was talking a couple episodes ago about these tiny house cabins that you can rent in like upstate New York, and you can cabin in a cabin. So Dennis and
Did you just make the word cabin a verb?
Yes.
Cabining.
Yeah. You can go cabining. It's like tubing, but like more sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
So
without water.
Yeah. So Dennis and I over the weekend were looking at these tiny home cabins, and we're like, we should do this. But we're so afraid to do it because both of us are so into true crime that we're convinced that we would get murdered. And this is not a joke. We're legitimately probably not going to do it because we're so afraid of getting
murdered.
That's
the wrong answer, Bethany.
Because these
you have to start training to prepare to be murdered.
But
because then you won't be murdered.
But they abut the forest. The cabins abut the forest. And you look out the window that's in the bedroom, which is also the living room because they're tiny homes. And there's a giant window that is next to the bed and overlooks the forest. Yeah. And then if you have the lights on at night, all of a sudden all the murderers are watching you like a movie because you can't see them and they can see you. And any awful horror movie like The Gift is a house filled with windows and all of a sudden all the murderers are seeing
you. Okay, ya. So this is what you do. I mean, murderers love to separate lovers, right?
Yes.
So when you guys are staying in this house.
Tiny home cabin.
Tiny home. You can only have sex in the tiny bathroom because you don't want the murderers looking in.
Because once you have sex, you get killed.
Once you have sex, you get killed. And then also if they're like, hey, knock knock, like I'm gonna bash your window in because I'm gonna kill you, you're like, oh, don't kill us, we're not lovers, we're just gay best friends.
Oh god,
so you can't really touch each other. I think that's the key. But also you need to practice tucking and rolling off your bed and jumping up with a knife in your hand.
The only good thing we have going for us is that because it's a tiny home, they can't hide anywhere yeah. in the house.
And you need a decoy knife. You know how like in spy movies they're like, the person captures you and they're like, hand me over your phone, and you give them a phone, but then you have like another one hidden in your butt crack or
you,
something.
You give him like the burner phone.
Yes.
Do you know where that happened?
Where?
National Treasure, where he bought the Declaration of Independence from the gift shop. Mm-hmm. And so when the people stole it, spoiler alert, they were like, we got it. And then it turns out it had a price tag on the back and he had the real one.
Well, do you know where that also happened?
Where?
In the third 50 Shades of Grey movie where Anastasia gets kidnapped because Christian's sister has also been kidnapped.
Spoiler
and
alert!
She's at the bank and she's like, give me all your money. I have to pay this guy who like has kidnapped my husband's sister. And then she's also like, also give me your phone, because then when she gets in the car with the kidnapper, the kidnapper's like, give me your phone. So she hands over the decoy phone and they take the phone, toss it out the window, and she's like, ha ha ha, ah. Still have my real phone. My husband knows where I am because I have fine friends.
Was that Rita Ora?
Yeah,
she's smart.
Rita Ora is really good in the 50 Shades of Grey movie. But no, Anastasia Steele was the one who pulled that fake phone move.
Yeah, well, she was originally a college student, and so she's clearly very smart. Even though she makes awful choices in relationships.
A really good move to have is always have fine friends installed on your phone so your family members can see where you are.
Yeah.
Unless you're a drug dealer, then don't do it.
Turn it off.
But also don't be a drug dealer.
All right, well, if we do it, I'm going to like give you the address yeah. and all of the information about where we're going to be.
Yeah.
So when we don't show back up in 3 days, mm-hmm. you'll know.
And when I go on solo hikes, that's what I do.
Why do you go on solo hikes, you psychopath?
I don't know. It's just like sometimes it just happens.
Don't you watch Dateline?
I don't have that many friends.
Oh, God.
But the friends that I do have, I make them watch me on Find Friends as I solo hike by myself. And then I send them a lot of photos and text messages. And then really, I shouldn't have been on a solo hike at all because it's like I'm with people.
You don't even have a dog.
I don't.
I cannot believe you go on a solo hike.
I tried to get my cat to solo hike with me, but she was like, fuck this shit.
She's the smart one. I think, Kathleen, that a lot of people, myself included, have a really sometimes fraught relationship with food.
Yeah, I would define my relationship with food as fraught.
Fraught. And one thing that I think a lot of us are trying to get a hold on is how do we get into the shape we want to be in and figure out how to make food work for us?
Yeah.
Because abs famously are made in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, if you're trying to lose weight, a lot of that is food related, not how much you go to the gym.
And that's why I like Noom, because it's totally different than anything I've ever tried before in terms of an app to help me get healthy.
Yeah.
Different results call for a different approach, and I don't diet.
Dieting is not a good idea. It's something you can sustain.
It's not a word that I like. And with Noom, you have your own personalized training system and support team for less than the price of a single appointment with a nutritionist or a personal trainer.
And I have a nutritionist for medical reasons. She's expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every time you go to your nutritionist, I ask you questions, yeah. and then I get your nutritionist for free.
Yeah, exactly.
But then came Noom, so then I could directly ask my own questions.
That is why your questions have tapered off. Yeah. I was okay, that makes sense. You have a goal specialist who's a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. Plus this great community that's there for you. Group discussions with fellow Noom members to keep you encouraged. And if you're a part of the Acquired Taste community, you know that community is such a huge thing. We all support each other.
Yeah. Noom takes the agony out of food tracking. I can get caught up in that for days. I mean, yeah. like I'm still tracking from last Wednesday, every tiny little thing. It's not helpful. And Noom takes the agony out of it with one of the biggest food databases available. You can track your meals, visualize your portions, and see your calorie density. At a glance, Noom makes it really easy.
So Noom is designed for results. It's out with the old habits, in with the new, and a new relationship with food. So sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's N as in Nancy, O-O-M as in My goodness, I'd like a new relationship with food.com/taste.
A specific goal that Noom has helped me with is eating things that are green.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like a fruit overdoer and a vegetable underdoer, and Noom has helped me figure that out.
And I know that you, your nutrition specialist, who I think was named Ryan.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Which is like a hot boy name.
It's a hot boy name.
Yeah, he was like, he would check in on you and say, hey, you doing okay? Like, I see that you have been doing this or haven't been doing this.
I'm like, hey, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Hey, Noom. Mm-hmm. Thanks for making sure I'm okay.
And Ryan was like, hey, I got you, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Again, visit Noom, Noom.com/taste to start your trial today.
All right, time for some listener advice.
Okay, so just for the record, we're not professionals, nor should our advice be taken seriously.
Stop
unless
it.
Unless it's good advice.
We give good advice. We're just not professional therapists.
Right.
And we just want to let you know that.
Yeah. Did you just hear me opening my sparkling water?
I was wondering if the microphone was going to pick it up.
Probably.
It sounded like a fart.
It did not. It sounded like sparkling refreshments.
It sounded like you fart like Fosse.
We just had to cut out a whole conversation because I told a secret about one of my friends that could get him sued.
Can you say what the secret is about?
Nope. Okay. It's just about he should be getting credit for something that he's not getting credit for. Anyway. All right. So anyway.
That's why I tell people all of my really good ideas, because I'm too lazy to make them happen, and I hope that they get stolen and that someone actually makes it come true.
Because it's a product you'd legitimately like.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like when I want, like, back when I was single, I wanted a makeout brothel to be a thing, because like making out is so much fun, but I don't like clubs.
Oh, you said makeout brothel.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said makeup brothel.
Oh, sorry. Makeout.
And I was
brothel.
Like, isn't that the Mac counter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Hi, ladies. Okay. All right. We've got some listener advice. I'm changing the name to Maisie.
Maisie. That's a cute name.
Maisie writes to us. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
I've been contemplating writing you this email for months, and I'm in desperate need of advice. So I'm 31, and I have a limited number of friends, so I don't really have anybody to talk to about this. Needless to say, my current situation is always on my mind, and I consider you both of my friends, even though we've never met. Sorry that that sounds really creepy.
That doesn't sound creepy.
Not
we just
creepy.
Don't get the benefit of borrowing your clothes.
I know. Or your
boyfriends.
Mm.
Girl. No. Or girlfriends.
Or girlfriends. Or books.
Books. Or food.
Netflix password.
Really, none of us are getting anything out of this friendship.
Nope. She writes, anyways, long story short, I'm in love with my best friend.
Oh, no.
And I have no idea what to do about it.
Oh, no.
He and I briefly dated for a few months about 5 years ago. We stopped dating when I asked him through text, because I'm a coward, if he was seeing anybody else. He responded, yes, I thought you were too. His answer upset me and I broke it off and we stopped talking.
Okay, so it was just really casual.
Yes.
Okay.
And then a month or two later, I saw him at a bar and we started chatting again, and our relationship grew very quickly into a great friendship. Mm. He is my best friend and I've never met anybody like him. We're 5 years into our friendship and I've been in love with him for at least the last 2.5 years.
Oh, honey.
It's the worst. Oh,
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple times. I know that feeling. Honey.
To briefly describe our friendship, it's difficult. It's not normal. We're best friends. We're together all the time. He helps me with everything since he's much better at adulting than I am. We go to each other's family events and functions. We go on trips together all the time. And we've hooked up countless times throughout the years.
Ugh, makes it worse.
I feel a weird connection with him, and it's hard to just put him in the friend category. Throughout the 5 years I've known him, we've both dated other people. He's notorious for dating lots of girls, not in a bad womanizer kind of way, though. And he's an amazing guy. He just moves through girls very quickly. He used to tell me about all the girls he was dating and provide lots of details, but about a year ago I hit a breaking point when he invited me out with this girl he was dating. I got upset and abruptly left, and I emailed him this long thing about how I really felt about him and our situation. To this day, we've never fully addressed the email. Things always just get pushed aside, never fully acknowledged, and we go back to our quote-unquote normal relationship. Mm. The only thing that came out of that event was me telling him that I just don't want to be around or hear about any of the girls that he's seeing anymore. And since then, he hasn't brought one around or brought one up. And it just feels so unfair to me when he does that. I feel like I'm being unfair to him, because as his friend, he should be able to tell me about the girls that he's seeing and who he's dating. I just feel awful when he lets me in on the details.
Yeah, yeah.
And another thing I want you girls to know about the situation is that he's not originally from the area that we live in. He moved here about 6 years ago with his ex-fiance. Over the years, other friends have come and gone, but we're both limited when it comes comes to our social circle. And I'm not sure if it's just because him and I hang out so much and not with other people, or if it's just because we've all gotten older and people have kids and they're getting married and they're just not around as much. But there was a chance last year where he was possibly going to relocate, and he told me, I'm staying here because of you. And if he had to move, he would want me to move with him. This drove me absolutely insane. I loved hearing it, but it's so conflicting and confusing. I have no idea how to feel. What would you ladies do in my situation? I feel like I've stopped actively dating because I'd rather just be hanging out with him. And I worry that when he does start dating someone seriously, it will just ruin me.
Yeah. Oh, Maisie.
Oh, what kind of friendship is this? I don't know what to do. Do I talk to him about me liking him again? Do I just ignore it and keep living this way? Please help. Maisie.
Oh, Maisie. He sounds like he is getting a lot of
attention
from this friendship.
Yeah.
I think that he is stringing you along.
You've
talked about your feelings already with him, so he knows you like him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says things like, if I was to move away, I would want you to move with me, that's his way of like putting the string out a little bit, making sure that you know that he is like kind of flirting, and then pulling it away again. It's an ego snack. And you, I think, are his back burner girl.
Yes.
For when he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yes.
And you, Maisie, deserve to be much more than a back burner girl.
Yeah.
And this comes from someone who has been a back burner girl.
I really don't think that when love and best friendship is a thing, it very rarely works out. It's always one person is in love with the other, and the other person is like, oh, hey, I recognize that that other person loves me, and I like that they love me, and I like them, but I don't love them back that way.
Yeah, but it's hard to get rid. I mean, I'm sure he legitimately cares about you as
a friend.
And
I don't think that this guy is a bad person, because it's nice to be liked.
Yeah, and it's nice to like have someone to have sex with whenever you feel like having sex with them.
The hooking up part makes it so much more complicated. Yeah. I, for your sanity, I wouldn't do that anymore.
No. And Maisie, frankly, I think that you need to stop hanging out with him for a while. I think that you have to say to him, look, I feel like you're using me. I feel like you're taking me for granted, and you are manipulating me because you know I have feelings for you.
Yep.
And I need to pull away for a while and take like 6 months away from the friendship. And that means 6 months away from texting him,
yes,
6 months away from seeing him, 6 months away from following him on social media.
Because maybe you are not in the most amazing relationship of your life because you're not putting yourself out there enough, and you're spending all your time with this guy who, if he, and so many people don't want to hear this, but if you tell somebody what your feelings are, and you put it on the table and you're like, I love you, I have these feelings for you, I don't just want to be your friend anymore, and they brush you away or ignore your email or your text messages or whatever, it means that they don't feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to hear.
Oh, it sucks.
It's only in rom-coms where the other person is like, I'm so confused. Do I love you? Do I not love you? Oh, wait, I actually love you. That doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah, it's like, it's just, and it's so hurtful to you to sit there and keep hoping. And you cannot do that to yourself. If he actually loves you, he will make sure you know it. Like, guys are not subtle when it comes to going for what they want.
No.
They'll go for what they want.
And there's an age factor that plays in here. You're not 21 years old. You're 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Games are different when you're in your early 20s because people aren't necessarily thinking about settling down yet.
Yeah.
And serious relationships aren't like a major factor on the table like they are when you're in your 30s. I don't think he's trying to play the field. I think you're just his second choice always.
And that's that. And Kathleen doesn't say that to be mean. She says it to be like, you deserve so much better.
You deserve to be someone's first choice.
Yeah.
You deserve to be someone's zero choice.
Like, given like, yes, like I want you more than anyone else. Like,
yeah,
you deserve to know that the person also cares about you as much as you care about them. This isn't good for you.
Imagine if you put all of the energy into this guy, take that energy and put it into learning how to speak French.
Oh my gosh, you'd be fluent.
So fluent. You'd live in Paris by now.
Yeah. You need
you would
a
be
break.
A U.S. ambassador at the Parisian consulate.
The outfits and the scarves you'd be wearing, mm-hmm, to all the ambassadress meetings.
Yeah, you'd be married to a Dior heir.
Yeah, yeah, you'd be getting your kids into USC by paying money under the table. That's how rich you'd be. So
rubbing elbows with Aunt Becky.
Uh huh.
That would be you.
Ugh. I had no idea Aunt Becky was married to the Target guy until that happened.
Massimo
for Target.
Mm-hmm.
The jeans are always too short for me. Maisie, I say you need some time out. And you don't even have to tell him why. He knows why.
Take a solo vacation.
Yeah. Just like, I know that you say you live in an area where there aren't, the social circle opportunities are not huge. Then be alone for a while versus being with this dude. This dude, he's getting too much of your time and he doesn't deserve it, frankly. I'm sure he's lovely, but you're lovelier and we're on your side.
Should we touch upon this article that I printed out specifically for Maisie?
Yes, Maisie.
So from Refinery29, they put out an article this week titled How to Optimize Your Dating Profile According to Tinder Experts.
Nice, Maisie. Get on it.
This is for you, Maisie.
Yeah, we got this for you.
And for anybody else who's not loving that single life.
Yeah.
So you've selected the best photos and labored over a bio and you hope it makes you come off as intriguing, a little weird.
You've put wanderlust into your profile.
Mm-hmm. You have a photo with a dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super popular.
But you're still not really finding people to date. Swiping fatigue is real.
Yeah.
I love swiping for my friends. It's so much fun.
I find it really discouraging.
Why?
Because I know that someone is looking at...
You think everybody's ugly?
Well, no, I know that like someone else is looking at my picture and going, meh. And like, I'm a whole person.
Bethany, you're looking at the glass half empty type of way. You have
course.
To look at it half full.
What's half full?
Half full is there's somebody looking at my photo going, oh man, I could never get that girl. And they're going to choose you. And you're going to be like, oh, you know, that guy's kind of cute. And you're going to choose him. And then he's going to be like a wealthy.com guy. And you're going to be like, we're set for life because you're wealthy.
I'm currently in a happy relationship. So I'm not swiping on anything.
Money doesn't buy you happiness.
it buys you relief though.
I think that's statement's false. Money, yeah. Happiness for me is like really nice vacations.
I think money buys happiness in a different way. It's not possessions. It's you don't have to worry about whether you're going to pay rent or not. That makes you feel calmer right there.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
All right.
So photos. When it comes to photos, Dr. Sterling.
Who the hell is that?
It's a doctor.
All right.
There are a couple of no-nos. No sunglasses, no hats.
No hats?
Well, Diane Keaton screwed.
Why no hats?
In a study, Tinder found that wearing glasses in a profile decreases a user's chance of being swiped right by 15%, and wearing a hat decreases your chance by another 12%. Well, sunglasses, obviously you can't see their face, and I guess hats is also like a can't see your face type thing.
I wonder if it's like you can't see their hair. I wonder
also,
if that makes, like if it's more for dudes, like you want to know if they have a full head and
yeah.
not.
I understand that.
All right.
As far as composition, Dr. Sterling. Okay, so.
Who the hell is Dr. I want credentials.
I skipped over a big section of the article.
Okay.
So.
This person we haven't talked about before.
Dr. Darcy Sterling is a dating and relationship trends expert.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have read that before we.
It's fine.
As far as composition, Dr. Sterling stresses that it's very important to show your entire face.
Yeah.
Don't do those artsy angles.
We want to see a face. We want to see teeth. We want to see eyes.
Smiling makes you 14% more likely to be swiped right.
Sure.
And facing forward improves your odds by 20%. And be sure to have enough photos on your profile to begin with. 81% of users include at least 4 photos.
Got to. And show enough. Like if you have 4 photos, 3 need to be clearly you and mm-hmm. not like you and all your friends and then another one of you and all your friends. I don't know which one I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like who I don't know who you are.
No,
like are you the girl in the red or the girl in the blue?
Right.
Or
circle yourself at least with an arrow.
Yeah. Or here's another fundamental concept. If you're cheating on your spouse, don't have your wedding photo as your Tinder profile photo.
Don't cheat on your spouse.
I've had friends who've seen the wedding photos and it's just the bride and the groom. It's not like they're a bridesmaid or a groomsman.
It'd be better if it was like, if it was the dude and you could clearly see that he had chopped out someone who had a veil on, like, cause the veil was partly on his shoulder.
Oh my God. You know what? I guess it's for those married couples that want that third person in bed, which is cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like there are better ways to find that swinging third.
If you're not sure how to order your photos, and let's be real, the first one can make or break the odds of being swiped right. Yes. Your strongest photo first.
Yes.
There's a photo feature called Smart Photo, and it uses an algorithm to order your photos according to what will be most popular.
Can you imagine if you had 4 photos of you and one of them has a goat in it and they were like the goat one first and they zoom in on the goat? That's hurtful.
They show up to the date and bring some feed for the goat.
I thought you were prettier. You look like a goat.
You need to create some variety in the photos that you're uploading. Some full face shots, some full body shots, and a picture of an activity of you doing what you love. What would that be for you?
Being me on my couch.
Yeah.
It would be me on my couch.
It would be like me listening to an audiobook in the park by myself.
Yeah.
Which doesn't just really make
neither
for
of us are very fun people.
Great photo. Me coloring a naughty coloring book.
Mine would be like me sitting on the floor of my shower.
Yeah, crying
and rocking back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, boomerang.
Oh, yeah. It's
just boomerang. Boomerang. Does Tinder let you boomerang? Listen, I just knocked it out of the park with an idea of dating app. Uh-huh. Then you can only upload boomerangs.
That's
and it's
great.
Boomerang.
Boomerang. Tinder for boomerang.
Okay, so when it comes to your bio, whatever you do, don't leave your bio blank.
No.
But if you don't know how to fill up that empty space, Dr. Sterling suggests keeping it simple, including a quote from your favorite TV show, share what your ideal first date looks like, or ask a question to make it easy for your potential match to start a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, like, mine would be like, I like reading books and cuddling with my cat and staying home most nights.
I mean, I was such a failure at online dating that... I can't give any advice on this. I did so poorly on online. I never had one date from online dating.
Really?
Never
that
one.
That shocks me, Bethany.
I matched with a few people.
Yeah.
That they always unfollowed before we ever had a date.
WTF.
Because I'm socially awkward. I'm not good at this. One was a dolphin trainer.
Yeah.
And one was a pilot. And then one was, I don't remember who the other one was. It just like they stopped. They stopped responding and then we got unmatched.
My friend Dan is always sending me screenshots from girls that he's hoping will match him.
Yeah.
But these girls are not realistic girls. It's always like the Instagram model girls who they're girls that are meant, they're going to scam you. They're going to take your money. They're going to like, they're going to swipe your credit card or like have a credit card reader in their purse and they wave it over your credit card.
But that's what happens when you are basing your dating potential just on someone's photos. Like you're obviously going to go for the person who's the most aesthetically pleasing because that's what you're basing it on. And so you don't get a chance to get to know them first.
Yes.
And sometimes you need to get to know them first. It's amazing how attractive someone becomes when you like them.
Like I think my opening photo would be me in my reading glasses with a copy of Little Women and a cup of coffee.
Yeah. No makeup.
No makeup.
And hair has not been brushed in a long time.
My Target sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
Mismatched socks.
It's like that Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas. They did a movie a long time ago. Super filthy. Where like they both sent ugly photos. They were like falling in love over letters or something. And they sent the ugliest photos they could of like other people to say that was them.
Yeah. Because
they wanted to know if the person really cared about them. And then they show up and one is Angelina Jolie and the other one's Antonio Banderas.
This doesn't happen in real life.
No, it doesn't happen. It's the one where they have sex in the tub on the cover of the movie.
Some guy was so rude to my friend that at their date, he said right to her face, you're like something along the lines of like you're not as pretty as I thought you were in your photo.
That's when it's like two-step process. One, cocktail in his face. Throw it. Two, leave.
I would show up to Tinder dates if I had to ever go on them with like a questionnaire.
Please and
I would
fill this out.
Yeah, like a bubble. And then I would look at it and based on their answers back, I would say, okay, cool, I can stay for 10 minutes, but then I have another questionnaire for you.
Yeah.
Or peace out, I'm leaving. I'm sorry, it's been nice knowing you. You're handsome enough. You just didn't fill out the questions correctly.
Like, would it be like political affiliation and like, do you like animals?
Yeah. Do you smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if an old lady fell on the street, would you run and help her up or would you laugh?
Some people would laugh. I know three people who would laugh.
You should dump those people.
I know. I dumped one of them.
Good.
Yeah. All right.
We should start writing bios for Tinder for money.
I think that, you know what we should do?
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea. Mm-hmm. Let's create a bot.
Okay.
I can do this.
Okay.
I have a long plane ride. We can, let's create a bot where we'll just inject a bunch of different dating profiles into it.
Cool.
And then if you send us your name
mm-hmm.
and what you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
like male, female, both.
Yes.
All. We will create a dating profile for you based on this bot.
At the end of your dating profile, it also has to say my favorite podcast is an Acquired Taste podcast.
Yes. Yes.
I know somebody, I can't even believe it's a thing. Somebody, a friend of a friend, told me this story about a girl that they work with who's making money teaching people how to find Pikachus in that, what's it, Pokemon Go. This girl gives lessons, Pokemon Go lessons, for big bucks and she gets paid in cash only.
That's insane.
I know. She's an entrepreneur, like a true entrepreneur.
That's a bubble. She better get off that bubble. Cash in now. I'm surprised that game is still going.
Squirrel your money away. Don't spend it.
No.
Have you seen the new Rothy's commercial on TV?
No.
Yes, it's a girl holding a beautiful Rothy's loafer, and then it turns into a water bottle, and then it turns back into a shoe, and just goes back and forth. Water bottle, shoe, water bottle, shoe.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're not having a fever dream. It's because Rothy's are these incredibly comfortable shoes that are, oh, by the way, made from recycled plastic water bottles.
They're stylish, sustainable, comfortable, washable. Really everything that you need in a shoe.
Yeah, and it's not that like they take a water bottle, they cut a hole in it, and they put your foot in it. They make this really super soft thread somehow. Wizardry. Black magic out of water bottles. And the great thing about it is that it's machine washable. So you can throw it into your washing machine. You wash it cold and then you let it air dry. And the next day, your Rothy's are good as new.
Yeah. If you live your life on the go, if you do a lot of walking, Bethany and I live in a city, so we definitely do. You want to get these shoes so you can walk long distances, but still have your feet looking hella cute.
And the first time that I wore my Rothy's was a day that I was doing a lot of walking. And that was a risky act because, you know, sometimes it can take a really long time to break shoes in, or you get those little rub like blisters.
You always have to bring Band-Aids in your purse.
Yep, I didn't. And
not when you're wearing your Rothy's.
My Rothy's kept me comfortable all day long, and I didn't have any of those little rub marks. They were so, so comfortable.
Rothy's come in a wide range of colors and patterns, and they're available in 4 different silhouettes. Plus, they're constantly launching new styles, so you're guaranteed to find something that you love, or, you know, like maybe 3 pairs that you love.
Right, exactly. Speaking of, so we love our Rothy's, but Taste Bud Kelly on Twitter.
Oh, I saw this.
She loves her Rothy's too. She said, I pulled the trigger. I now own 2 pairs of the flats. OMG, I'm in heaven, but I also want to try the loafer. And I said, I have the loafer. And she bought the exact same loafer, the one in mocha.
Oh, love that color.
These are the ones I have. They're adorable. So Kelly, I think, is now 3 pairs of Rothy's in.
So my best friend also treated herself to a pair of Rothy's for her birthday because, you know, when you're an adult, you buy yourself a birthday gift.
You buy like 7.
She was very excited to tell me that she was buying herself Rothy's. And when they came, she put them on her feet and texted me right away. Hey, you were right. These things are amazing.
They're great for travel. They're great for walking. They're great for every day. You're going to love these things. And right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. Use the code TASTE to get free shipping with no minimum. Free shipping, free returns, exchanges on your Rothy's shoe, but trust us, you won't want to return them. Go to Rothy's.com, that's Rothy's.com, and enter the code TASTE, TASTE, to get your new favorite flats and free shipping. Once you try shoes that are comfortable, stylish, and sustainable, you're never going to wear anything else. Head to Rothy's.com and claim our offer with the code TASTE.
Did we mention that they're washable?
They're washable.
Just put them in the wash.
Uh-huh.
Come out like brand new.
Okay, so we got a listener email that I think there's like a really easy answer to this, but it reminded me of something else that I just read that's like a couple of years old, but it just, people are stupid. So here we go. Okay, so this.
Yes, people are stupid.
People are stupid.
The masses are asses.
Uh-huh, and I think that we all need to realize that we're worth a little bit more and start realizing that we're worth a little bit more.
I'm worth $1 million.
You sure are.
Actually, I'm worth whatever the Powerball ticket is on Wednesday.
Oh, you're not worth that yet.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm going to win. Positive thinking.
So she wants a faux name.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to call her?
Clara.
Oh, I like that name. Mm-hmm. Clara Barton. All right. Clara says, hey, ladies. What's up, Clara?
Hey.
I feel like we're all best friends here. I need some serious advice.
Okay.
This September, I'm turning 30. Yay! But many of my friends are also hitting the big 30 with me this year, specifically my best friend. Her birthday is less than a month before mine, and she said she wanted to do a fun Disney trip. That's all fine and dandy, but I received the email invite last night, and she chose my birthday weekend to do it.
Stop it.
Clara's friend chose her birthday weekend to celebrate Clara's friend's birthday.
First of all, mistake number one, Disney.
Mistake
number two, wrong weekend.
Yeah. So Clara says, I promptly texted saying it was my birthday. And she replied, it's the only week I can get off. And if you tag along, maybe there'll be 2 cakes. I'm going to punch your friend in the face. Mm. I don't want to be a diva here, but I'm pissed. You're not being a diva.
Not a diva.
To give a little background here, I'm married with an 8-month-old and she's single, living in the city with her only job as a responsibility. So she has a lot more flexibility and doesn't understand how big of a deal this is. I don't get to let loose much these days. So what should I do? I don't want to miss my best friend's birthday trip, but selfishly, that's my weekend. Your friend doesn't care about your birthday. Why are you caring about your friend's?
Your friend should have been like, hey, joint birthday weekend.
Right.
Bam.
Ugh. Selfishly, that's my weekend. I'm sure my husband is going to throw me a party. I feel like she should have chosen any other weekend, and now we'll be celebrating separately. Help, am I being selfish here or is this crazy? No, you're not being selfish. Your friend is being selfish. Your friend is being selfish and not thoughtful.
Yeah.
You get to have your birthday weekend.
Bad friend, bad.
Bad friend, bad. So that reminded me of this letter I read a couple years ago, and I just found it again. It was a letter written into Dear Prudence.
Oh, yes. Slate.
Mallory Ortberg. She's very funny.
I used to love Dear Prudence. They don't do it anymore, do they?
She's on, I don't know.
It's not popping up in my Facebook feed lately. But okay. That's because Facebook is all sorts of crazy.
Yeah, it's a mess. So this was from 2007.
Okay. Dear Prudence. Isn't that the song? It's a Beatles song?
I think it's Hey Jude.
No, there's Dear Prudence too.
Are you sure?
Do you know there's a movie coming out called Lucy in the Sky?
Is it a Beatles movie?
No, it's about an astronaut, Natalie Portman. And I think that's really cool.
Huh.
A cool pun.
Good. That's the best way to end a story. And I think that's really cool. okay, so this was a letter written into Dear Prudence a couple years ago. Question. My husband's best friend proposed to his girlfriend during our wedding ceremony.
No.
Did you hear about this when it happened? This is the same kind of jerk friend.
Stop.
My husband and I, so here's a letter. My husband and I started dating, got pregnant, had a child, moved in together, bought a house, and got a dog in that order. Our friends and family have asked us for years why we weren't married yet. We always pushed it off to build better lives. We've done really well for ourselves and finally reached a point where we could afford a huge blowout wedding to celebrate our lives with everyone we know and love. My husband's best friend, John, was the best man and the officiant. The setting was beautiful. Everyone seemed happy. Our families were overjoyed. My mom may have used the phrase hallelujah a few dozen times. The entire atmosphere felt moving. So moving, in fact, that John stopped mid-ceremony to propose to his longtime girlfriend, Jane, and reveal her pregnancy.
No.
I couldn't even hear the vows my husband wrote or the rest of the ceremony over the noise of Jane's happy sobs, her very surprised family who were also guests, and people seated nearby congratulating her. During this woman's wedding ceremony, which the dude was officiating.
This is why when you get married, you need to keep a knife strapped to your thigh so you can murder somebody.
Always. Even the videographer cut to her frequently during the ceremony, and you can't hear anything over the chatter. When John gave his toast, he apologized for being caught up in the moment and then proceeded to talk about he and Jane's future with nary a mention of us. During the reception, John and Jane became the primary focus of our guests. John even went out of his way to ask the band for a special dance just for him and Jane on the dance floor. I've never been an attention hog, and I wouldn't even have even minded if he'd proposed after the ceremony, but weeks later, I'm still seething. I'm so shocked and angry that I keep asking myself if this is real life. My husband hasn't spoken to John since the wedding, and our mutual friends think what he did was rude, but that my husband should just get over it. My husband has joked that he'll resume his friendship when John and Jane give him a $40,000 check for, quote, their half of the wedding.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think John's behavior warrants the end of a long-term friendship, or are we angry over nothing? And Prudence basically said, like, how about somewhere in the middle? So don't just get over it, but maybe don't never speak to John again. Like, talk to him.
I would never speak to John again.
I would end the wedding. That's it. I would be livid. And so this is clearly, like, a little bit more dire than your friend having her birthday on your birthday.
Yeah.
But still, it's like this idea of just thoughtlessness that drives me crazy.
I don't understand what the big deal is where our listener, Clara, her friend could have been like, hey, here's a really cool idea. Let's do a joint birthday.
Yeah. Like how we both fly out. We have our friends and family fly out. That'd be great.
Yeah. The girls in my book club, it's a tradition that we always go out to dinner for everybody's birthday. And some of their birthdays fall very close together within 2 or 3 weeks of each other. So we do one joint thing.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. It's like that would be a great opportunity for your friend to create a memory with you, her friend. Like one giant Mickey Mouse cake for the two of you, and you guys can like take pictures and put cake in each other's faces. Fun.
Yeah.
Instead, she just was like, that's insane.
So a friend of mine was telling me the story the other day where she was getting married. And you know how sometimes when people get married, they have brunches after, like at the hotel where everybody's staying.
Yeah.
The day after the wedding or whatever. And
everyone's a little bit hungover.
Everybody's a little bit hungover. They're like, they want to hug you goodbye and like they'll see you whenever. This bride, this friend, the bride of mine, her mother-in-law took that opportunity to announce her engagement, which, you know, when you think it's like the brunch is like not such a big deal, but it's just like, come on, just let these two people, the bride and the groom, or the bride and the bride, the groom and the groom, whomever it may be, to just have a day or two. Like,
if you look at somebody's lifespan in terms of what days get to be focused on them,
yes,
a wedding is like number one. Mm-hmm. If there's a wedding in their life,
yeah,
like that is day number one that you get to be the center of attention. Don't take that away from somebody.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
we were talking last podcast about but like drunken wedding speeches, which I love and I fully endorse and I think that they're hilarious. But again, that's like taking the focus away from the bride and groom and putting it on yourself.
Oh God. My mom is going to kill me for saying this.
Say it.
When I graduated from high school, I flew out to California with my mom. My aunt and my uncle took us out to this really nice restaurant, this very famous golf course in Pebble Beach, California.
Ooh, I've heard of it.
That's the area where they live. And the whole way home, my mom, who I guess maybe had like too many glasses of champagne at my graduation celebratory dinner, talked in the car on the whole way home about how amazing my brother was.
No! She does love your brother more.
She loves my brother so much more.
Can I say what you guys fought about last week?
Yes.
Okay, so last week. So Kathleen had to call her mom, or your mom called you or something while we were recording the podcast.
Yeah.
And Kathleen was on her way to visit her brother. I'm talking about like you're not here.
Yeah.
And Kathleen's mom needed to see Kathleen ASAP to get Kathleen a box of Girl Scout cookies
to bring
to your brother.
To bring to my brother.
Even though Girl Scout cookies are definitely sold around the country.
Yeah.
She needed to bring them so that you would give them to your brother. Did she bring you Girl Scout cookies?
No.
No, just your brother.
Did she ask me if I wanted Girl Scout cookies too? No.
Just your brother.
And she dropped them off at my apartment so I could put them in my suitcase when I was flying to see him to hand deliver him Girl Scout cookies, which I can guarantee you they sell in Virginia.
And don't get me wrong, if you're listening to this, Mom Girl Kathleen, I love you. I think you're amazing, and I've had fun with you in the past. We went to a purse bingo raffle once, which was really fun.
You know what? It's just a small example of how stealing someone else's spotlight doesn't have to be a big, huge thing. It can be small, too. And so maybe if you're the type of person who tends to steal other spotlights, you think of it in small terms, too.
Yeah, like think of like, am I going to this wedding because I hope something happens that involves me?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to this wedding to celebrate the love of these two people?
Exactly.
If it's the former, maybe don't go or maybe don't drink.
Yes.
Because you're going to make it about you.
I had a friend who was dating a celebrity, a very famous.
Who was it?
He hosts a bunch of reality shows.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what type of reality show.
Is it Ryan Seacrest?
It's not Ryan Seacrest. And she was invited to a friend's wedding and she wanted the guy to go with her.
Sure.
And she was like, yeah, I have a famous boyfriend. I want to show him off. And the boyfriend wouldn't go. And he said, I really can't go to weddings anymore unless I'm really, really good friends with the people getting married because I always steal the spotlight. Everybody wants to talk to me and it's just not fair to the people who are getting married.
That was really nice of him, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's also a really great way to get out of going to a wedding.
Yes.
Become famous.
Yes.
So then you don't have to go.
Yeah. Famous and self-aware. And it sounds kind of full of yourself, but it's true. Like I know who you're talking about, mm-hmm. and at his status, it would be pretty distracting.
Yes. He's definitely a A-lister reality show guy.
Oh yeah. Like I tweeted him once and he tweeted me back and I got real excited.
Oh, I don't like him.
I know. Well, now that I know more about him.
Don't tweet him ever again.
I won't, I promise. Don't be stealing people's thunder at their weddings or bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs or any mitzvahs.
Or birthdays.
Nope.
It lift people up. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah. And one thing that I had this amazing acting coach in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Michelle Condre. She's awesome. And one of the things she taught is that you make yourself more of a charismatic performer, mm-hmm. when you put all of your focus on somebody else. Like, you know, the dancer Baryshnikov? Mikhail Baryshnikov?
Yes.
So if you ever watch him, like he is dazzling to watch.
From Sex and the City.
Yes, he was in Sex and the
City. That's how I know him.
Also an amazing dancer. if you watch any of his ballets.
Yes.
He is focusing on his partner with this total adoration.
Mm.
And like the only thing that exists in the world for him is her.
Yeah.
And because of that, you can't take your eyes off of him.
Interesting.
And so the best way to be a good scene partner, a good performer, a good friend, a good anything is to put all of your focus on that one person. And then if you as a result, it does lift you up,
yeah,
if that's what your goal is.
In return.
But yeah, just, you know, be a little bit less about yourself.
Yeah. Make the spotlight shine brighter on the person who deserves that spotlight.
Yeah.
Bethany, at your wedding, I'm going to announce that I'm pregnant with quadruplets, even if I'm not.
It's gonna be a small wedding, so you'll be like the only one there. If that, you know, we don't know. You know, we're never living together, right? We've already talked about it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah.
No kids, never living together.
Yeah, that's so fine.
It's gonna be good.
Just a lot of cats.
A lot of cats. He wants a French bulldog.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great idea. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have a menagerie.
That's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a menagerie in a big house with lots of windows. We'll call it the glass menagerie, and it'll be real sad.
I've seen this movie. Lily Sobieski is in it.
I love that movie. Glass House?
The Glass House.
So good.
I had to do a whole Wikipedia thing on Lily Sobieski the other day because I was like, whatever happened to her?
And why is she not Helen Hunt?
Yes.
She's not. She like just kind of stepped back to be a mom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's married to somebody famous who was just in something, and now I forget.
Good story, bro.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Marie Kondo wants you to get rid of all of your clutter.
Yeah.
And what Marie Kondo says, I do.
She's the Bible.
Yeah. So one big source of clutter, especially if you have an attic or a basement, is old films, old VCR tapes, old photos, like giant piles. I know in my family, we have piles of photos. They're not even in books. They're just like in plastic bags.
In boxes. And God forbid there gets any moisture in wherever you're storing these photos or, you know, these film reels. These memories are going to be ruined forever.
And who has a VCR? Between, I think, all of us, you, me, and Kathleen, I think between the three of us, we have like one person maybe who we know who has a VCR still.
My dad might have a VCR.
I think my dad also might have a VCR.
Like, but it doesn't work.
No, it's not. No, of course not. No, the only way to look at this stuff is to like hold it up to the light, and I don't even think that works with tapes. This is why you need Legacy Box. Save your family films and photos from degrading or being lost forever, and when you put them all on digital, you can get them as digital files, you can put them on a thumb drive, on a CD. That means that you can throw away the old VCR too, and that is taking up space because it doesn't even work. Ask your dad.
Someone in my family just died, and I'm flying out to visit my cousin in just a few weeks, and he has a whole box of stuff for me to send to Legacy Box so he can have a copy, I can have a copy, and we're going to save these memories.
Forever. Now clean out your closet full of old camcorder tapes, aging film reels. Send your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, and then Legacy Box does the rest, professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD. And I know it's scary, the thought of mailing these priceless objects out. It was scary for me, but Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box, and they sent my items back to me in perfect condition. Well, you know, as perfect as it was when I sent it to them, along with the digital items. And it was such a good experience. I'll do it again.
You were the family hero when all of these amazing photos and films came back of your grandparents in Africa. I mean, because these are memories that, you know, your little nieces didn't get to see until Legacy Box digitized everything for you.
Yeah, they get to see video of their Mima, my mother, holding a snake because they all had snakes growing. It's just a really weird thing.
I want
a pet snake, a pet monkey.
A part of your family.
It's insane.
There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they are offering our Acquired Taste podcast listeners an exclusive discount. So go to legacybox.com/taste. That's T-A-S-T-E to get 40% off of your first order. Go to legacybox.com/taste to save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. I have an obsession, Bethany.
Yeah. What is it?
I'm so obsessed with Elizabeth Holmes. Have you heard about her?
Theranos.
Yeah.
I'm doing my low voice. It's Theranos.
Do you take me more seriously when I talk like this?
Because you're wearing a turtleneck.
We're gonna change the world.
So, okay. If you don't know what we're talking about, there's a new documentary out on HBO. It's called The Inventor. And it's about this girl. She's in her 30s. I think she's about 35 now. Her name is Elizabeth Holmes. Mm-hmm. And she started off as a Stanford University student. She was 19. She went to 2 years and quit to be an entrepreneur.
Great. Wonderful idea.
And the whole documentary is about how her product, which was blood testing, didn't work, was never really going to work. She just faked it for 10 years and convinced people to invest so much money in her company, it was worth $1 billion.
She So she basically, I haven't watched this yet. I think I might watch it tonight, actually.
Good.
But she, so she basically, in a nutshell, she made this point that she was afraid of needles and getting her blood drawn. And yeah. So she, quote unquote, invented this way that you could test your blood with like one pinprick of blood in like a mail-in form. A little bit like sending DNA in, but way less DNA. And that it would test for all of these different things.
Yeah.
The issue is that, A, that's not enough blood. And B, all of the testing was actually done by people in labs. Not by this little machine that she said she invented.
So this fake invention aside, I'm obsessed with her.
Well, the thing that came out of the documentary that they don't even talk about her voice, right?
But they do. They do. How they say at a holiday party once she got a little bit drunk and slipped out of character. But so I guess she sounds normal. So like, hi, I'm Elizabeth Holmes. I'm going to steal all your money. I'm lying to your face.
Yeah.
That's how maybe she would have sounded normally.
Yeah.
But she talked like this.
She talks like this.
I'm starting a company named Theranos and we're going to change the world with blood testing. Give me all your money.
And people on Twitter were freaking out because she talks like this. And also, she doesn't blink, apparently,
I mean,
very much.
It goes back to this idea that people with lower voices, women with lower voices, are taken more seriously because they sound more like men.
Sure. Did we talk about this already?
We didn't.
I thought we talked about this on our bonus episode.
Did we?
I don't know. I don't have a memory of anything. I just feel like we did. But it's still... But we talked about the voice part. We didn't talk about the...
I want to know who she is. I'm obsessed with her. Like, what were her childhood friends like? Like, the documentary gave a lot of details about how her product was never really going to work. But I want to know more about what makes Elizabeth Holmes tick.
I mean, I was actually thinking about it this morning. So it's funny you brought it up. Because has she been diagnosed with a personality disorder?
No.
Like psychopathy or something?
And they're making a movie, like a motion picture about her, which and obviously is not going to have all the real details in it. But
do they know who's playing her yet?
Yes, Jennifer Lawrence.
Damn it!
She's going to be so good.
She looks just like her. But I just think that I feel like I'd be more successful if I was a psychopath.
So when I met you, Bethany, I wasn't right off the bat like, wow, you're a psychopath. But there are people that you meet and you're like,
yes,
damn, that person is psycho.
Yeah. Like the book, The Psychopath Test, is fascinating because it shows that a lot of people in corporate America who are super high up test high on the psychopath test because they don't have a lot of empathy. So they don't worry about like firing people. They don't worry about who they have to hurt to get to the top. They don't care. And, you know, that's not a great trait in like a lover, but it's a great trait if you're only out for yourself and for getting money.
I want to take the psychopath test online.
Can you? I'm sure there's a list, like a checklist.
Okay. I'm going to give it to you, Bethany.
Okay.
What gender do you identify as, man or woman? Well,
woman.
That's limiting because there are other genders
too. I know,
too.
But all right.
Okay, mark each of the items below as true or false what applies to you. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
I never get tongue-tied.
False. Listen to me.
In important ways, I am superior to most people.
False.
I am prone to boredom.
True.
I lie to make things go smoother.
True.
I cheat people out of things.
No, false.
I rarely feel guilty.
False. I feel guilty all the time.
I'm an emotional person.
Yes. A wreck.
I rarely connect emotionally with others.
No, that's false. I cry from dog commercials.
I often get others to pay for things for me.
False.
I am impatient.
True.
I am promiscuous. Oh, you had to think about that.
I had 1 year, but that was my newly single year. So no.
Okay, false.
No, false.
I was a problem child.
I mean, yeah, probably true.
Okay. I have difficulty staying committed to long-term goals.
That's probably true.
I am impulsive.
False.
I frequently perform sloppy work.
False. How dare you? Mm. How dare you, Kathleen?
I try to evade responsibility.
True.
My romantic relationships usually fall apart quickly.
True.
I am committed to... I committed some serious crimes as a juvenile.
That's true. Well, I stole the game gymnasium sign. Is that serious?
Yeah, very serious.
True.
I have violated a probation order.
I've never been on probation. They never caught me.
No, you haven't lived until you've been on probation.
I know, at least once.
I have committed many types of crimes.
I mean, yeah, like driving without my seatbelt. I did that once when I was in high school.
You make illegal left turns all the time?
Constantly.
I am neither shy nor self-conscious. I speak with authority.
No, God.
I am exceptional.
I mean...
Are you exceptional?
No.
False. All right.
Aww.
I take risks to feel alive.
No. Risks are scary.
I am basically an honest person.
Yeah.
I feel bad when I trick people.
Yeah.
If someone deserves it, I don't feel too bad.
True. True.
I think strong emotions are for the weak.
No.
I think if people get offended, that's their problem.
No, it's my problem.
I always have taken care of myself.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
I never act hastily.
No, that's false.
I think sex should not be taken lightly.
I agree with that.
I was often in trouble in school.
No.
My God, how long is this quiz? Okay, just a few more questions.
Okay.
I'm suspecting that you are a psychopath.
Shut up, man.
I lack direction in my life.
No, I think I got some. Forward is my direction.
I never give in to temptation.
False.
I always keep my word.
I try to, but okay. I don't always.
So I'm going to say true. Because you try to.
I try to.
My problems are mostly the fault of others.
Yeah, but I internalize them as my own problems.
So true.
No. Yeah.
False.
No, I blame myself for most things. So I would say my problems are my own fault.
Okay. I don't like to commit to relationships.
No, that's false.
I was a bully in high school.
No, I was bullied. Well, that's why I'm a mess.
I have been held in contempt of court.
Not yet, but I hope so soon.
Oh, one can dream.
I did get kicked out of jury duty for being too honest. Is that true? Does
How
that count?
How did you get kicked out of jury duty for being too honest?
They asked me if I thought that the prison industrial complex was racist, and I said yes.
It is racist.
I know, but they kicked me out of jury duty.
They didn't want someone who was a thinker.
I know.
I am not or would not be proud of getting away with any crimes.
I would be proud.
Yeah,
I'd
true.
Be paranoid, but I'd be very proud of okay. myself.
Submitting.
Do I have to give an email address to get my results?
The test is complete. You scored 12. Scores above 30 indicate psychopathy.
Oh, look at that.
Of course, only a professional, which this test is not, can make a true assessment.
No, of course.
This test is just made for fun. Below is a graph of how other people have tested on
it. So wait, like what's the lowest you can get? Zero?
Yeah.
And I'm 12.
Mm-hmm.
And 30. Do they
out
have
of 40, out of 40.
Out of 40. Oh, I'm a little disappointed. I'm not a little higher.
You're like sort of a little bit higher than 1/4 a psychopath.
What do you think you would have scored?
Maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah. You're closer to psychopath than I am. You blink less.
I think my husband would have scored high on the
really?
Psychopath test. Yeah, because he's always like, I'm the best.
Yeah. Like he says that a lot in that voice.
He's a know-it-all.
Yeah.
And so I think being a know-it-all makes you a psychopath.
I think my boyfriend would be very low. Because I think that he's too much of a thinker.
He's like a humble dude.
Yeah, and he's also like, he's a little like me in that he sort of takes everything on. But more so.
I don't think vegans can be psychopaths.
No, I think vegans cannot by definition be psychopaths. I think they don't eat any animal related thing and also they aren't psychopaths.
All right, if you want to take this test, Google psychopath test.
Yeah, I mean, just come on.
The one that, the one that came up for us was Vistriai.com.
Vistria?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything this week, Kathleen?
I did.
What did you learn? Are you Googling what I learned this week?
No, I'm not. I have it saved in my phone. F you.
Dear Google, what did I learn this week? As you look,
your
hair is very Blake Lively today.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, I miss my long hair.
I learned, can I share two things? One
Please.
Is short. If you are looking for a craft to do with skeleton keys.
Always.
You can buy a whole bunch of skeleton keys for pretty cheap on Etsy.
What?
In big batches.
Skeleton keys are the best.
I know. Like, one would think you'd have to go to a lot of antique fairs and spend a lot of money to have a nice collection of skeleton keys. False. You can just go to Etsy.
The skeleton keys are one of my favorite things. I have one on this ring.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'm obsessed with skeleton keys. I love that you...
Also a good movie.
How many...
Yeah. You can buy, like, packs of 50 skeleton keys.
Then they can't be real.
They're metal.
Oh, then they're real.
Maybe they're not vintage.
I mean, I don't know. That's amazing. What made you realize this? What were you doing?
I don't know. I was perusing Etsy for things.
Yeah. And you're like, I need some skeleton keys in my life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, number two thing I learned this week.
Yes.
If you live alone
uh-huh.
and you want to make it seem like you don't live alone.
Yes.
Go to Goodwill, buy the biggest pair of beat up boots you can think of.
Yes.
And leave them outside your door. With like the laces kind of open.
Yeah.
With like a cigar hanging out.
So it looks like some big burly dude lives with you.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Exactly. Some food for thought.
It's always nice to have another dude living with
you. If you're a dude, go buy
bigger boots.
Bigger boots than your feet could ever fit into.
And I would go one step further and I would say also buy like a dog chain
yes.
that looks like it's for a dog that's uncontrollable
mm-hmm.
or like an elephant sized dog mm-hmm. and like leave that outside too.
And then like maybe strung over your boot like a locket
yep.
with a picture of the dog inside.
Yeah. Yep. And then like and then like some fake blood.
Yeah.
Like on the boot bottom. Yeah. So it looks like maybe you just got back from, you know, like a murder spree because you're so powerful.
And like maybe like some fake arrest records, like paper, you roll it up and put it inside the boot.
Yeah. Just like that's because that's where you leave your papers.
Yeah. And then like maybe like prick your finger and write on the door. Mm-hmm. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to bother you then.
No. And people love a confession.
Yeah.
An unrequested confession.
And they will not rob you.
Nope.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
So I learned that if you're traveling, which I'm doing this week, sometimes you know how you want to just take like a little bit of something, like for me, it's like under eye cream. A little bit goes a long way. So I don't want to bring an entire bottle of under eye cream because they're larger than you think. I realized in the store today, buy yourself some contact lens cases.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe people have already figured this out, but I was really excited so that you have like these tiny screw top packages then.
Yes.
I used to take the little plastic discs they gave you at Sephora for samples, but those things pop right open and all of a sudden your crap's everywhere.
Yes.
So yeah, a couple of lens cases and then they screw shut and it's all you need.
I do that when I'm spending one night somewhere and I just need a little tiny fingerful of face wash.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to LA this weekend and I'm only there for a few days and I'm going literally from the airport to a meeting, so I can't bring a giant suitcase.
Yeah.
I'm just living with a carry-on and I'm trying to make it small. And so we're keeping look. It's the contact lens case game.
I love that idea. You know that Instagram account, Passenger Shaming?
You know,
people who do all like the weird, rude things on airplanes here. I'm going to pull up the exact name for it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So it's exactly at Passenger Shaming, just like I said. The picture that's making everybody go crazy this week.
Crazy.
Is three girls were on a plane coming back from a beach vacation and their bathing suits were still wet. So they hung their wet bathing suits to dry over their airplane seats.
Oh, gosh.
Icky, icky, icky. So are you planning on going swimming?
No, I don't go in bodies of water that are uncontrolled.
You go in the bathtub.
Yeah, I control that body of water. I
says who?
Says me. There's no animal there. There's no
You have cats?
Yeah, but they don't lurk under the water ready to grab my ankle and pull me down into the depths.
Things live in the drains, Bethany.
But I plug it. That's how it's a bath.
Whatever.
Have you ever seen the poster for Jaws originally?
Yeah.
She's swimming, there's a Jaws under her.
Yeah. And yeah, things come up out of your drains. Snakes, roaches, mice, all sorts of things, Bethany. No body of water is uncontrolled. You should know that. Poseidon wants you to know that.
No body of water is safe. I will agree with you. But sometimes it's a controlled experiment.
Unless it's a sprinkler. That's the only thing.
I'll agree with you on that one. And even then, it's hard to get me in a bathing suit. There's not enough chiffon. You know, I like a long chiffon black skirt.
Get out of here.
And a veil.
Wrong audience. I don't feel bad for you. Your legs are 6 feet long.
I'm pale.
Go F yourself.
Like a parasol. You can follow us on social media. Kathleen, what are you?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. If you know anyone who works at Twitter and can help me change that name, that'd be great. I'm trying to match it all together. You can follow us on social media for the podcast.
At Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Email us an Acquired Taste Podcast. And acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send us some snail mail, we have a P.O. Box. You can reach us at an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can also give us a telephone call. We have a phone line. Call us at 917-994-0353. Tell us what you're thinking. We may play it on the pod, so, you know, that's like an inherent permission that you're giving us.
One of my highlights of the week is listening to our voicemails.
Ugh. I love it when people are drunk. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And taste buds, here are some of the messages you left us this week.
Hi, ladies. So you guys just finished talking about 90s music, and you said S Club 7, and I nearly cracked up. I used to love S Club 7. I think if I had a brain aneurysm, and I forgot everyone's faces and names, and I lost all memory of who I was, I would still remember these S Club 7 lyrics.
Hi, girls. It's Shayna
and Mandy,
and we're about to go into the Connecticut Taste Buds meetup. Woohoo! We're so excited to meet other Taste Buds who love the podcast as much as we do. We're two best friends, and we love listening to your podcast. We're both in different states now. Thanks to the podcast is another way that kind of brings us together.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. I wanted to note that I am wearing a t-shirt right now, but if you pull the pocket down, there is a kitty who flips you off, and that is my current mood for today. Love. Yeah, kisses.
Shaquilla, I wanted to share with you, I am 1 hour of not smoking, which for me is actually, like, that's a pretty big deal. Notice a real change. Like, I feel like my eyesight got better. Don't have a cigarette. Terrible. Terrible for you. Oh, my gosh. What is happening? The new me. Here we go. Stick with me, everybody.
Hello, ladies. This is Chris from Austin. I just wanted to say thank you and that I appreciate you. Hope you guys have a great day.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. I just wanted to let you know that my husband and I just played trivia. We came in third place. We got free glasses. Like, shout out for that. Cheers, babe. Babe, say hi.
Hi.
Let's say hi more enthusiastically.
Hello. Hello. Hi. 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 Hi.
Love ya. Bye.